Today I just wanted to tell you about something that happened to me when I was in high school. In high school, we went on a missions trip to South America. And I remember one of the days when I was there, the leaders came up to a group of us and they said, "So tomorrow at our little service, our gathering that we're doing, you're going to be sharing your testimony." And I was like, "What testimony?" Now, before you're like, "Wait, what do you mean, Pastor Stephen? Don't you follow Jesus?" Okay, I do, but let me share. Okay, my testimony goes as follows. My grandparents on my dad's side grew up Catholic, and then they midlife converted rather radically over to a Pentecostal church, and God moved powerfully in their lives. And then from that time on, my family has served the Lord. On my mother's side, my grandparents were traveling children's evangelists down in the States the entire time that she was growing up. And so I remember my testimony is when I was 5 years old, my mom sat me down on the couch and went, "Do you want to follow Jesus?" And I went, "Yeah, duh." And so we prayed a prayer. But, you know, for me, when I think of testimonies, I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know, a testimony, that's that person that was addicted to drugs, and so their loved ones left them, you know, or they were addicted to alcohol and they were an abuser." Or, you know, there was one guy in my Bible college, he told his testimony. He's like, "I was an enforcer for the Hell's Angels. I used to run around with a baseball bat and I would break kneecaps for them. And then I found Jesus and he turned my life around and I've never done it since. And he forgave me. Can you believe?" I don't have one of those stories. You know, but isn't that a testimony? Like, if you're going to share a testimony, you almost feel when you grow up the way that I did, you got to like make something up. I didn't. And so other people are sharing their testimonies and it came to me and I shared exactly what I shared. I had like 20 seconds and I was done passing the mic on to the next person. You know what I mean? And it was like, wow, okay, whatever. And I know throughout my life, you know, I've had various times where people have been like, "We want you to share your testimony." I've been like, "No, you don't." You know? Or where I've had this panic because I feel like there's an opportunity or like God wants me to share my faith with someone. And I'm just like, I don't know what to say. And what if they reject me and what's going to happen? Or someone asks me a question about church or about faith. And I'm like, oh, what if I say the wrong answer? You know? Until something started to change in my life. Beyond just getting confidence in some of these things, what I began to realize is as I developed meaningful relationships with unchurched people, as I began to take note of the things that they care about, the things that they struggled with, and as we shared kind of on even terms, let me tell you, all of a sudden, people are like, "Hey, do you want to go to Boston Pizza for some drinks?" And it's like, "Sure, you go get your stuff and I'll sit here with my club soda and I'll smile and nod and we'll have a good conversation," because the best conversations are after unchurched people get about 3 beers in them. I'm serious. Like, if you want some good spiritual conversations with unchurched people, just go to the bar with them. You don't have to drink, but best time ever, right? All of a sudden it's like, "We just love what you do over there. And can you just tell me, like, you're so young, why do you follow Jesus? It doesn't make sense to me." It's like, oh, well, I don't know how much of this you're going to remember, but let me share with you why. And it's just so much easier, you know? Because you know these people and they're coming to you and they're seeing your life and you've had these conversations and all of a sudden they're just like, "I have questions, can you answer them?" You know how much easier that is? Then when you see some guy on the street with tattoos all over the place and he's old, right? He's not a millennial because we get tattoos apparently. And it's like, "This is my life story." You know, I heard a comedian say once, an old guy, if the guy's over 60 and you see an anchor on his arm, you better watch out. But if you see a young guy with face tattoos, don't worry about it. You know? So, you know, you see that guy with a tattoo and God's like, "I want you to tell them about me." And you're like, "I don't know them from Adam. What am I supposed to say?" It's not that kind of thing. When you have a relationship with people, it takes the fear away. And let me tell you, it's so much more meaningful. And I'm not saying suddenly people are going to be falling on their knees and being like, "I need Jesus right now. What do I do?" But what I am saying is it's an opportunity for you to step in and make an impact where otherwise you might not. Now, a lot of you might think talking about Jesus is really uncomfortable or even really scary, right? Maybe you're worried about becoming a spiritual bully. If you met those people, like forget the Hell's Angel with the baseball bat, you go in and you break kneecaps with the Bible. You know what I mean? and so you're worried about that. For so many of us, right, we want to follow Jesus' commands to make disciples. We follow Jesus and we know that we should be doing that, but we want to avoid any part of actively speaking about our faith with unchurched people. Have you experienced that? Well, today we're going to discover that it's kind of important. It's kind of important that we take this step, but we're also going to discover that the things that we've been talking about the last 4 weeks actually lead into a place where it's not as scary, where it's a lot more approachable to talk to people that don't know Jesus about Jesus, because there's a relationship there, because there is a mutual respect and trust there. See, Bless sets you up for success through creating genuine connections, because you spent so much time beginning with prayer for the person and then intentionally listening instead of just speaking, and eating together to create that bond with one another, to create a friendship with this person, a genuine friendship, and serving them or serving alongside them, that suddenly you come to this place where you're ready. You could share Jesus. You could share your story. But I understand that doing it for a lot of us can be scary. It can be overwhelming. What if they ask something I don't know the answer to, right? What if they yell at me? What if they decide they don't want to be my friend anymore? First of all, let me tell you that unless you've hidden the fact that you follow Jesus, if they're your friend at that point, they don't care. Okay? But the fact is, you may want to skip this step, but you can't spell bless correctly without the final S. If you do the first four, but you ignore the fifth letter in bless, chances are you won't help anyone discover Jesus' love for them, because you need to share your story about Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to share from your word and to encourage people towards the things of Christ. God, I ask that you would move in us today, that you would encourage us to hear what you want to say and that we would put it into action, that you would give us boldness, Lord, to go out and do your will in Pincher Creek and beyond. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be in a book called John. It's a book of the Bible written by a close follower of Jesus named John. And John wrote this book to catalog some of the miracles and teachings of Jesus and teach us about who Jesus is, so that people would be able to come to know him, that they would be able to follow him. And what's going to be interesting for some of you today is you're going to see an abbreviation after the passage that says N-E-T. And for a lot of you, you've never seen this. This is the New English Translation, and I'm going to explain when I finish reading this passage why it is that we're reading out of a different translation than normal today. All right, so can you stick with me? Okay, some of you can, some of you can't. It's all right. We're going to move into it. So this is what we read. Now, a certain man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus replied, "I tell you the solemn truth." Listen to this. "Unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the solemn truth. Unless a person is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must all be born from above. The wind blows wherever it will, and you hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus replied, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? I tell you the solemn truth. We speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but your people do not accept our testimony. I have told you people about earthly things and you don't believe. How will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For this is the way that God loves the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him." Did you know that Jesus practiced this blessed paradigm in his life? He did. He prayed for the world, didn't he? He wept over Jerusalem. He listened to others, right? He listened to them and their needs. He ate meals with Pharisees and sinners. He served people through miracles and through his teaching. And in fact, we see here Nicodemus recognizes these things. He's like, somebody that does the miraculous signs that you do has to be from God. Has to be sent here from God. So now he has an opportunity. Because Nicodemus has been drawn in. He's asked a question. And now Jesus, it's his turn to share his story. And here's what I want to tell you. The reason why I chose the NET is because we have this phrase, born from above, and most of you, if you read any other English translation, you're used to hearing someone say born again. In fact, many people in the evangelical church or group of churches have taken to this place of if you've had a genuine experience with God, you like to say, "I'm born again," right? I'm born again. And so you might be like, well, if all the English translations translate this as born again, but the NET translated as born from above, what's the deal? Which one is right? And the answer is both. It is. In fact, if you look at most modern English translations today, you'll see that there's a little footnote mark. And if you go down below, it'll say that the Greek is intentionally vague because that word can mean both, depending on context, from above and again. And so Jesus had other words that he could have pulled from, but he pulls from this one. Why do you think? Because it brought Nicodemus deeper. Jesus is a master storyteller, and he's pulling him in deep. He uses this vague term, and let's face it, in the context, he used it in a way that doesn't make sense, right? Unless you're born from above, and Nicodemus immediately goes, "Again? I'm an old guy. What am I supposed to do? Crawl back up inside my mother's womb and be born again? Ew!" You know, that's not going to work. Well, now Jesus gets to share a bit more, right? And from here, Jesus begins to share who he was. He's not just a man from God. He is the Son of Man descended from heaven. Who's the Son of Man? For Nicodemus, a religious elite, he would have immediately recalled the prophecy of Daniel 7, the prophetic vision, where we see a Son of Man, one like a Son of Man, who is elevated to the uppermost, who's associated with God, with divinity and power, is the Son of Man. And Nicodemus is immediately like, "Whoa, what?" And then Jesus continues and he pulls from the Old Testament stories again, right? He says the Son of Man must be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. Let me tell you, this sermon was really hard to write because there is so much significance in what Jesus says. It is so hard to do it all justice because that serpent in the wilderness, you have to understand that the people of Israel, they had done some horrible things, and so God struck them with an illness, and people were dying from this plague. And so Moses, he went to God and he's like, you got to stop this. There's not going to be anyone left. And so God gave him these really weird instructions. He said, I want you to make a brass serpent, put it on a pole and lift up the pole. And anybody that looks at the brass serpent, in other words, anybody that believes in this thing on a pole will be saved from their illness. What does that sound like to you? Jesus pulls back to this and he says, you know, that was actually a sign looking forward to me. The Son of Man, that divine one, that all-powerful one, he's going to be lifted up for the world on a cross. And anyone who looks at him, though their sin has caused death inside of them, though they have a disease that plagues the world, when they look up and they believe at the Son of Man on the cross, they will be saved. They will be healed. Guys, I don't know if you understand, but that's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. Jesus is just like, low key, yeah, this is going to happen. Right? And then he carries on. He shares what he'd do. He'd die on the cross, but he also shares the repercussions. And so many of us have memorized these passages and used these things when we're telling people about Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. That's where this is coming from. Like, this is taking the message of Jesus. Jesus is like, yeah, I've done all these things. I've done the first four letters. You came to me. You provided me an opening. I'm not shying away. I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to do it in such a way that pulls you in so that you want more. And I'm not saying that we all have to be master storytellers, right? Jesus knew how to tell a story with spiritual impact, but I want to tell you, you can too. But a lot of us, we start thinking about these things. We're like, nope, I can't do that, right? We got some storytelling non-starters in our lives. And the first one as we have a wrong perspective, is I don't know enough or I'm not talented enough. Have you ever said that before? Man, there's a lot of people in the Bible that said that too. You know that? I'm not talented enough. I don't know enough. Let me tell you, you won't always have all the answers, right? I've studied theology for years, and guess what? People still come to me with questions like, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. You know what I mean? We can't know all the answers. We're not God. But here's the thing. Are you willing to have an open and honest conversation? More than that, are you willing to trust in God's Spirit, who Jesus said, even if you're arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. Don't say, I can't do this, because God will give you the right words at the right time, for it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father in heaven speaking through you. So storytelling, non-starters, lies that we tell ourselves. I don't know enough. I'm not talented enough. The second one is, I don't want to shove my beliefs down their throat. I don't want to be spiritually belligerent and abusive. And to that I say, good. I'm so glad if we can be on the same page there, right? Let's not turn people off by beating them up. In fact, I love what missiologist D.T. Niles says about the Christian faith and how we're meant to go out and tell people about Jesus. He says, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Let me say that again. Christianity is one beggar, that's you and me, telling another beggar where he found bread. We have a message that everyone needs. Everyone is hungry in this world in some way. Everyone is missing something. The world is starving, whether they know it or not. And we found bread. We've found bread, and we're no longer starving. And if we are going to be decent, loving, kind people, then goodness, when there's an unlimited supply of bread and you know that the world is starving, what does any decent person do? Hey, I found bread. I found what you need. This isn't beating people over the head. This is just telling them where the thing that they need is. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, this great missionary. It's recorded in the Bible, writes to the church in the book of Romans. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen to this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Now, what we're meant to do here is we're supposed to take the someone out, and we're supposed to put, I tell them. If we don't tell them, who will? I don't know enough, I'm not talented enough, I don't want to shove my beliefs down their throat, I don't feel comfortable sharing. So here's the thing about this one. I understand that, but this is a matter of eternity. Eternity is a lot bigger than my right now fear. So you don't have to be fancy with your story or how you share. Here's what you got to do. You guys all remember Nike and their slogan? What's their slogan? Just do it. Just do it. And I know it seems mean, right? Oh yeah, there's Pastor Stephen telling me just to do it. Listen, no, I'm serious. Sometimes the only way to get over that hurdle, when you've prayed about it, you've listened and you've developed a relationship and you've served the person and God prompts your heart or gives you that opening, sometimes you just gotta do it. You just gotta share your story. Now, of course, you're probably sitting here at this point, Pastor Stephen, I don't even know how to share my story. Like, you just told me how great Jesus was. My story would be like, I needed an apple and I found one on a tree and so I thanked God for it. I mean, that's actually a pretty good short story. It's maybe a little bit insignificant. Maybe if you were like, oh, I was in the wilderness and I was dying of hunger and thirst. And I was like, Lord, let me come upon an apple grove in the next 10 minutes. It would just be such a wonderful thing because I'm about to die out here. And you took a couple more steps and you dropped into a valley and there was an apple grove right there. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. And you grabbed the apple and you ate it. And then there was a stream running through there and you got on your knees and you just began to lap up the water. And from then on out, you just felt Jesus's presence right next to you. I mean, that would be a good story, right? There we go. Good. Let me share a little bit about how to share your Jesus story, okay? Because there's an underlying pattern in Jesus's and also in both those stories I just shared, all right? And that is, first of all, tell people or begin with what was happening or what you were like before Jesus. Now, this is where we get caught up, right? Because we're like, oh yeah, but I followed Jesus my whole life, so there's never been a before Jesus. Okay, that's good. Have you ever been praying about something? Have you ever had a need? And then he answered your prayer? So, what was life like? What was your situation like before he answered the prayer? Have you ever had something going on where you're like, I can't do this. There's no way through. Everything's going to fall down. I've just got to double down. I got to work hard and things are tough and you're stressed out. And then you invite Jesus in the situation and you tell him that you trust him and he's got to work it out and all of a sudden he does. So what was it like before you invited Jesus into the situation? There's always a before. It doesn't have to be before salvation. It can be before he stepped into the situation. Secondly, tell them what Jesus did. What did he do? He gave me peace where there was none. He gave me that apple when I'm dying of hunger. He provided a vehicle when I had none. He gave me the confidence to share with that person and it turned their life around. Tell them what Jesus did. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because every situation is going to be different, right? But just tell them what Jesus did. Record it down, right? Write it down. And then here's a big one. Tell them what you've been like since Jesus did that. That's the last part of the story. Not just Jesus does these things for me and then he's out. Right? If you pray hard enough, he'll help you and then you won't see him again. You won't experience him again. My life is exactly the same as before. Right? Sometimes we treat our story that way. Oh man, I needed gas in my tank. Jesus brought someone along and they filled my tank. And then I continued to drive my vehicle without putting gas in it. Right? You know someone else that knew how to tell a story, but really, really short? The blind man that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Here's this man. He's been blind since birth. He's been begging in the exact same place in the streets. And Jesus comes by, and he spits in the mud, stirs it up, and goes over to the guy. Now, don't get grossed out here, okay? He spits in the... I like to think of him like giving a good old-fashioned hork, like right in the back of the throat. Into the dirt that all the cattle have been doing stuff into. And he stirs it up. You got to be present in the moment, right? You got to just think about this man, the smell of a nice hork and dirt that isn't nice and strained like ours, all coming right next to your nose, on your eyeballs there. That's how you get into the story, right? That's how you got to read your Bible. You got to put yourself right there and just go, I can smell it. I can taste it. I digress. So this happens, and he's like, okay, now go take a bath. And I can imagine the blind man was like, you got it. But then he's healed. He can see. And so this blind man is like running around, and the religious leaders, they see him, and they're like, whoa. Wasn't this guy begging before? And everyone's like, no, it can't be him, because he's walking around, and like, he can see. Nah, that's not him. And so there's an opening here, right? And so the blind man comes in. We see John 9, verse 9. He says, I am the man that was blind. I had a problem. I was blind. I spent my whole life being that guy you saw there begging on the street. Later on, or just a few verses later, they're like, well, what happened? He made mud and told me to wash. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. And then John 9:25, he's dragged in front of the religious leaders again because they got questions. This guy's been healed on the religious day of rest. Nothing is supposed to happen on this day. You're not supposed to heal people on this day, which is baffling. But you're not supposed to heal people on this day. So they're trying to get Jesus in trouble. Who did this to you? And so they bring the parents in. They're like, was he always blind? What's the deal with this? And they're like, we're not responsible for anything. Ask him. He's an adult. So they bring him back in. And he says, there's one thing I know. One thing I know. I was blind, and now I can see. And they continue to press him. And what does he say? He says, oh, do you want to serve him too? What was happening before Jesus? What did Jesus do? And what have you been like since Jesus did that? I was blind. Jesus made mud. Now I can see. Do you want to follow him too? I'm going to go through these next ones really quickly because we're starting to be over time here. All right. How can you prepare your story? The first thing, be led. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring a helpful story to mind and guide you in preparing it. Because I know some of us, if you're like me, you do a lot better if you prepare something than if you're like in the moment, you're like, what should I say? You know? And so be led. Ask God. Like, God, what's one story that I can do right now that's going to be helpful? And start with one. Be yourself, right? So don't go, okay, how does Pastor Stephen speak? Let's speak like Pastor Stephen when he's up on the platform. Or, how do I write a paper? I'm going to sound like someone writing a paper. I'm not going to use any contractions. I'm going to use the thesaurus and use big words, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, just how do you talk? If you're writing it down and you're talking and it doesn't sound like you, change it so it sounds like you. All right? Thirdly, be real. In other words, don't do what I did with the Apple story. You were hungry, you prayed, God gave you an apple. If you weren't in the desert on your last breath, about to die, prayed for something, dropped into a valley and found an orchard with apples and a stream running by, okay, then don't tell them that's what happened, right? If you run out of gas and you phone AMA and they bring you gas, don't use that story. But if you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's no cell service, you're praying, no one's been coming by, and all of a sudden someone comes by and they stop and they're like, wow, I just filled up this jerry can. I don't even know why, because I only live a little ways away from here. Let me fill that up for you. That's a story to share. But let me tell you, you might be tempted to be like, and there was a glowing light from heaven that surrounded them, and I just knew that it was Jesus. That.
Don't forget the organ music.
That's right. Organ music, bells, angel feathers. If it didn't happen, don't say it, because people can spot a lie. And actually, you create expectations in people's minds when you do that, that small miracles aren't miracles, because every miracle they hear is some big, fanciful thing. Be short. Don't talk long like I am. Okay? 2 to 5 minutes, and five is like max. You better be having some good food if you're going to talk for 5 minutes. All right? So when I'm talking about find a story and go through these things, be more like the blind man. This is where I was at. This is what he did. This is what I'm at now. Let me invite you into this too. Be short. Be prepared. Again, you might be like, yeah, I have so many stories. It would be great. Let me tell you, if you don't prepare, you're either going to balk when they ask you to speak, or you're going to speak for 15 minutes. In minute six, they're done listening most of the time. Okay? You need to understand, these things, you guys can put a little bit of music on in the background if you want. These things that we're talking about today, this blessed paradigm, sharing our story, they do change lives. But we also need to understand they usually change them slowly. When we're praying for someone, we need to celebrate a step forward. Too often we go, Jesus isn't doing anything because they're not at the finish line yet. But you know what? They've taken 5 or 6 steps towards it. That's worth celebrating. That's amazing. It is. Nicodemus was forever changed after his encounter with Jesus. We don't necessarily get a lot of biblical evidence for it, but let me tell you, I believe that Nicodemus found forgiveness, that he found hope, and that he discovered his purpose. Did you know that after Jesus' death, before his resurrection, there were 2 men who prepared his body for burial? Did you know that Nicodemus was one? A religious leader. His people ordered Jesus dead, and he goes to show respect. What's that tell you? Not only that, but actually Christian tradition and many biblical historians as well tell us that Nicodemus was so determined to bless the world in the name of Jesus that he actually was eventually killed for refusing to deny his beliefs. See, we think of Nicodemus as the guy that didn't understand being born again. Which, by the way, you wouldn't either if you were there. But he was also the man who, while he didn't change immediately, had an encounter that slowly and surely moved him in the right direction until he was willing to die for his faith. I want you to imagine that in your relationships. Maybe the relationships you've been praying hard and you're like, they're just not moving. Nothing is happening. Things change slowly. The people you're praying for, their hearts change slowly. Your story might move them in the right direction. It might prompt more questions. Or you might be blessed to find out that that person was ready to receive Jesus. And that in that moment, they say, what must I do to follow him? And the answer is simple. Believe and follow him for the rest of your days. Repent, turn away, and give your life to him. I want to share with you as something to leave you with, something for you to go and do this week. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer from Alvin L. Reed's book, Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. He says, here's a prayer for the morning. God, give me today an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Each morning, when you get up, over your Wheaties and your coffee or your tea or whatever it is that you drink in the morning, just sit there. Say, God, I genuinely ask today that you would give me an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it and the courage to take it. Let me leave you with a story. Is that okay? There was a man named Lauren Seaman. And he shares this. He says, I'm going to say it from his perspective just for simplicity's sake. He says, while I was living in Chicago, I was always praying for people that I came across and looking and listening for opportunities to share the love of Jesus through the course of my day. He says, one day I was on the L, which is the elevated train in Chicago, heading into the city. And it was about 2 p.m, and there was a guy sitting next to me. I noticed that he was copying English sentences from one piece of paper to another, and so I inferred that he was learning English. Lauren continues, what you need to know about me is that I grew up on the Ivory Coast in West Africa, and so I recognized him as being West African, and I said, hey, do you mind if I ask, are you learning English? And he said, well, yes, I am, and so I said again, do you mind if I ask where you're from? He said, well, you wouldn't have heard of it. Well, try me. So he said, I'm from the Ivory Coast. Lauren went, what are the odds that 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the L train in Chicago, two Ivory Coast men would find each other? Only God could put people like us together. At this time, in a city of 3 million people. And immediately this man, his eyes lit up and he embraced Lauren. This man's name, his name was Ibrahim. And as Lauren tells it, over the course of the next few months, they became very good friends. They would eat together. They would converse together. They would go to things together. And he says, well, I'd like to share with you that I told him the gospel that day. It just didn't come up. I didn't get the chance to baptize him in that moment or anything like that. Instead, as they began to get to know each other, he shares that Ibrahim invited me to several Ramadan feasts. In case you're not aware, those are feasts that Muslims hold. And for some of us, we might say, I would never go to a Ramadan feast. That's not Christian. But during those feasts, on more than one occasion, he says the conversation would end up turning to Jesus, who he was, and what Christianity was all about. Because they had a Christian there who cared about them, who they cared about. And at the times, Lauren says, it felt like he was having an out-of-body experience during these conversations. Like, oh, goodness. But he says, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, lots of prayer and sharing meals together and serving one another, they were able to have this kind of dialogue without it feeling too crazy. Where you and I, we'd probably think it's pretty crazy. Here I am with a group of Muslims at their religious feast and they want to know about Christianity. What am I going to say? What are they going to say? Lauren says, I'll never forget what Ibrahim told me one time after we'd been friends for several years. He said, I don't fully understand everything about Jesus, but I want to spend the rest of my life learning more about him. Then they started reading the Bible together. He closed with this. He said, I can't help but wonder how many of us travel up and down the L every day and completely miss kingdom opportunities, gospel opportunities all around us. God, give me today an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these wonderful people here today. And I ask that you would truly encourage us, put on our hearts a boldness, but also a wisdom to share, but also to pray, to listen, to eat, and to serve. God, today I ask that there would be many stories over the coming months and years like Lauren's. Many stories like Nicodemus. Many stories like the blind man. God, that we would hear of people taking steps towards you. So God, today, be with us and help us. Why don't you right now just ask God for whatever it is that you need in this moment. Maybe you're anxious, maybe you're afraid, maybe you just aren't sure that you have a story, whatever it might be. Why don't you just ask him? And I want to address, while you guys aren't looking around, while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to address the room and online there. If there's anyone today that, as I've been talking about Jesus and what he did for you, that God loved the world so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I want to give you the opportunity today, if you feel something stirring in your heart and you say to yourself, I need this Jesus, I need this life, I need this freedom and this forgiveness, and I want to be a son or daughter of the Most High God of the universe. I want to be able to run into his throne room with confidence and embrace him and be embraced back. If that's you today, I know that there may be things that are holding you back right now. You might be thinking to yourself that you're not good enough in this moment. I want to share with you something that we share regularly at this church, and that is that Jesus loves and accepts you just the way that you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so he says, come as you are. You receive salvation as you are. It's Jesus who does the work. And then once salvation comes to your life, once you are forgiven, then the work starts of transformation. And so today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, in this room, I'm just going to ask you, with no one looking around, that you would slip your hand up so that we can just be thinking about you. And when I say we, I actually mean me, because no one else is looking around. I want you to slip your hand up so that I can just be thinking of you as I pray for you this week. Online, you can go ahead and put in the comments or message the church and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Awesome. Will you pray with me today? Everyone, let's pray this prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. And there's something missing in me. There's a weight. There's an emptiness. But today I want to give it all to you. I'm trusting in you. Jesus, I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform me by your love. I'm giving you all of me. And I thank you that you give me all of you. Thank you that though I'll mess up, though I'll fall down, you don't leave me. But you lift me up again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart today, I want to welcome you to the family of God. In-house here, we have a card in the seat back in front of you that says connect. If you're new here, I'd love for you to connect with us through that. If you just gave your life to Jesus, on the same card, fill out that form and check off, I just gave my life to Jesus. Give it to Al, who's going to be heading to the back there. And when you do, he's got a Bible and some materials for you that we'd love to get in your hands. Online, go to ascc.life, tap on I just gave my life to Jesus there, fill out the form, and we'll be in touch with you.